Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, lots on the Oilers and the Eskimos. Let's start with the Oilers. They're not going undefeated, so we can get that out of the way. But, you know, I would look at, I know that they didn't score first in any of the games on the road. They did score first in both home games this season, but man, I don't know if you could ask for a better opportunity on the road when you have McDavid and Draisaitl each having breakaways in the first period.
Well, they played well enough and generated enough chances to win that game. Really, it came down to which team buried their chances and which team made fewer mistakes. And, yeah, the Oilers just weren't able to bury their prime chances. If they do, they got a good chance to win that game. So it wasn't a stinker. They weren't awful. It wasn't a complete, you know, turnaround from nights when they'd played well. They just didn't bury some of their chances. They got a little sloppy in the second period, let a pretty determined Chicago team get the advantage on them, and then, you know, a bit of a bump there from Mike Smith, and that ends up being the difference in a tight game. So wasn't awful, but they just didn't bury.
Yeah, no, they didn't bury. And the thing is, when it's your best players, those are the opportunities you would love to have. You give Draisaitl and McDavid breakaways, more often than not, they're going to score at least one of those goals. And, you know, now that they have a loss, I think it's fair to focus on the fact that they've got to start getting some offense from there. Like, it's James Neal starts unreal. McDavid, Draisaitl, 2 points each. Cassian's been fine. Nugent Hopkins, yeah, he'd like a goal, but sure, he's been fine as well. Klefbom, et cetera. But their bottom six has literally done nothing other than Nygaard and Haas off of one faceoff.
Right, and that's a familiar story, isn't it? We've been talking about this for a while. How do you get point production, offensive production from a bottom six that, is not filled with guys that have a long history of producing a ton? So you gotta get them going. I mean, Josh Archibald needs to be somebody that can chip in a goal here and there. Alex Chiasson is gonna, same thing. I mean, he needs to be able to chip in some goals here and there. For sure, it makes a huge difference when you get some scoring from your bottom six. But that's not unfamiliar. It's been that way for a while now. They wanted to increase the competition. They did. Now the games are happening. And, you know, you look at the minutes played by McDavid and Draisaitl, they're not going to be able to keep doing that with any sort of regularity through the year and not have it have an impact on them at some point. And Dave Tippett knows that. He's just trying to win games. And unfortunately, when it's a close game and he's just desperate to win a game, they are by a mile his best option. And so we're seeing 24, 25, 26 minutes some nights.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's early in the season. I think it's Dave Tippett illustrating the point of he wants to get off to a good start in a big way for this team to feel good about themselves. And I think that makes a lot of sense. These are young guys. You know, they didn't track time on ice, but, you know, a lot of people felt like in the 80s Gretzky used to play 28, 29 minutes a game. I understand the pace of the game is different, but still, you know, these guys are in great shape, and, you know, you see Draisaitl days off in practice. McDavid's going to have days off. I think they'll monitor it somewhat. But
do you think he's okay to keep running Draisaitl, you know, 25, 26 minutes reasonably regularly?
No, I don't. I don't think he's going to anyway, number one. Right, I think it's
so far. Right, he was 26 again last night.
Yeah, and you know, you look at time on ice per game right now. Yeah, Draisaitl's at 25 minutes, which of course is the most of any forward in the National Hockey League, and then McDavid
right.
is second at 23,
exactly.
And then Barkov and other guys are there at 22 and a half and stuff like that. So yeah, it's not, but I won't be surprised if at the end of the year those guys are playing 23 minutes a night or 22. I won't be that surprised by it.
Yeah, and I think a certain amount they can handle for sure. They're, you know, playing 22, 23 minutes is different than playing 26, 26 and a half. So we'll see, but it goes back to your point. If you feel like you have more usable lines, then when the game is on the line and you're running out of time, you're more willing to put more people on the ice. And that's just, it's just not the case right now because the top end guys, it's not even close. So they're getting all the ice time late in games when games are hanging in the balance. You know, in that top unit power play, when you load up a top unit power play like that and you get four or five power plays a night and they're taking a buck 45 of all the power plays, know, that piles on the minutes as well.
Yeah, you look at the orders right now amongst forwards in the NHL. They've got three in the top 10, and they're all 8th, 9th, and 10th. And McDavid, Drysdale, and Nugent Hopkins. Colorado and Washington are the only teams with guys with more. Colorado has their top unit guys, McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, and Kadri. And then you have Ovechkin, Backstrom, and TJ Oshie. Right? And so those teams, the Oilers are actually getting a few more power plays than they've had in the past. So that helps. And that's, nowadays in the NHL, there's very few teams that have a second unit that gets any sort of significant time.
Yeah. And, we saw it start to happen two seasons ago where McDavid would, they'd bleed over into the second unit and start taking a buck 20, buck 40, and sometimes even 2 minutes. And I'm fine with it. You want the quality to stay there. Sometimes deep into a power play, guys can start to make some bad decisions. And I think it happened a little bit to them last night. Some of their entries late in power plays where you could tell guys were tired and such. So you want it to run efficiently. But, we're looking for things to criticize. Like, the team's off to a great start. Their power play's off to a great start. I think it's just along the lines of how sustainable is it and what signs do you see that, areas they're going to have to tweak. Running some of their high-end forwards the minutes that they're running them, in March, that might catch up to you a little bit. I think Tippett knows that, and as soon as he has more guys going, it's a lot easier.
Ryan Hrshog from TSN joins us. Orders back in action tomorrow night against the Philadelphia Flyers. Their next two games, both the Flyers and the Wings are in Calgary the night before, so a little bit of a break potentially for the Orders in that regard. And, you look to see them continue on. Like last night, I thought that, they exchanged chances very well with both teams. Chiasson had a great chance, missed the net. Nugent Hopkins, Chicago had some good chances as well. But what do you make of Joel Pearson? Man, he got rocked a few times yesterday. And I've seen him put himself in tough spots, and I think maybe just because he's not used to the physicality of the NHL compared to the Swedish Elite League.
Yeah, well, started really strong. Little bit of a pullback in the last game and a half or so, I would say. Still showing some good signs. But really, figuring out if this guy's going to be able to do this, it's not a five-game stretch. It's a 20-game stretch. And seeing where his level can stay at over a 20-game stretch. So, first experience in the NHL, you're running on adrenaline, you're kind of rolling with it. And the schedule is going to stiffen up. I think we need to kind of acknowledge the Oilers and their schedule and how it was very favorable here to start the year, and it definitely toughens up a little bit in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So let's see how he makes out in that point. So far the returns are good, but it's still really, really early. We saw both him and Ethan Bear last night get exposed wide. For what were almost really good scoring chances, some of the battles in their own zones, they're coming up against guys that are really, really experienced and know how to win these battles of body positioning and such. So really good start, but it's going to have to be not just a week and a half or 2 weeks of real good hockey. For them to stay in the basically number two and number four slots on the blue line, it's going to take a lot, it's going to take weeks and weeks.
Oh, yeah, without question. I think it's one where, if it was tomorrow and Adam Larson was back, Pearson would be the guy that I would take out of the lineup tomorrow, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Benning's been a little uptick for Benning, lately?
Oh, yeah, I think Benning and Russell have been, what you'd want from a third pairing, they've been fine.
Yeah, I think so. If used properly, Matt Benning, I think if he stays within himself, two games ago was really good. And certainly didn't struggle the most last game. So I think that's good signs for them that Benning is rounding into form and as a number 5/6 is giving them, I think, some pretty steady minutes.
Yeah, you're starting to see, last game he had played a lot against New York, and then last game was down to the 13 minutes. So I think, ideally, I think he's best at around 15 minutes, to be honest, 15 to 16. And kind of obviously it goes from game to game. When they got late down a goal, then they put in other guys to try to get ISO that kind of impact in the last 5 minutes, which I understand for a lot of guys. Lastly, when you look at the Nygaard's the one guy in the bottom that he's created a lot of turnovers. I've really started to like him more and more. What do you think?
Yeah, my opinion on him has kind of stayed the same over the last week and through this road trip. I think that I like him from the blue line in, I like the way he can dart around and create some turnovers, the way he's aggressive on the forecheck. He's not afraid to throw a hit, not afraid to let a shot go. There's some real nice pieces there. I think it's rough at his own end. On the wall at his own end, it's rough. And he needs to smooth that out if he's going to stay reliable and usable. Because and you can tell he's not confident in those positions. So some good signs, but he's going to have to smooth it out in his own end or long term. The trust factor just isn't going to be there with the coach. So he's working through it, but he's not there yet in his own end. And it might end up being causing problems for how much they can use him.
Shauger, we will chat with you tomorrow. We'll watch without one corner of our eye tonight the Flames-Flyers game. Kind of expect what we see from the Flyers. They did announce Chris Stewart today signed a one-year deal with them. So likely to be in the
story, eh?
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
he play in Europe last year?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, good for him. That's amazing.
Well, I think he's been out of the league for almost 2 years, realistically. So,
yeah.
And really, you know, it's been a while since, he was the guy. If you remember Chris Stewart, big, strong, remember he was a big part of that blockbuster trade from Colorado to St. Louis.
And
he played with the Flames, did he not, in 17-18 for a short period of time? I got to look that up. I thought he did.
But then he landed overseas for a full year.
Yeah, last year. Yeah, last year he was overseas.
Worked his way back.
Yeah, the year before, I think it was with Calgary. For a bit.
I really like the toolbox. He's got lots going for him as a player. It's just, just being able to keep it all together and apply it.
Well, being in good enough shape, to be frank, that's kind of been his issue. So we'll see
there you go.
What happens.
Better.
All right. Well, that's no problem. It's commitment level. They need it. Shauger, we will chat with you tomorrow.
Yeah, have a great night.